It's him, Detective DeBrenier, by transcription. The mystery of the dog that did and didn't. It had been a tiring week, and as I washed up after some experiments I'd been making to determine whether a certain murder case had involved the use of poison, I thought what a swell day it would be for a picnic in the mountains. It was early in November, and from my laboratory window, the mountains looked as if they'd been sprinkled with powdered sugar. I'll get Sandy and Jill, I told myself, and we'll make this a Saturday to remember. You see, Jill's my landlady's daughter, and Sandy lives up the street a ways. They've both been mighty useful from time to time in helping me to solve some mysteries. I turned off the water, dried my hands, and started to go out into the hall to call Jill and Sandy when the phone rang.
Hello, Tim?
Yes?
Jarvis speaking. I've got a case that looks right up your alley.
I sighed. There, I thought, goes my holiday in the mountains. Because whenever my old friend Dr. Jarvis calls, it's sure to be a case of more than ordinary interest. Jarvis works for the health department, and I've been consulted by him on problems before. He continued.
Yes, it's right in your neighborhood, too. They've just taken a woman to the hospital, and there's no doubt about it, she has Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
What? In November?
Interested, huh?
But the tick season's been over since, well, the middle of the summer.
Well, you can examine the woman yourself if you want to, but three doctors, including myself, have made the diagnosis, and it can't be wrong. Severe chills, followed by a fever of 104 or 5, pain in the muscles and joints, and get this, the spotting of the skin has already started this morning.
But where do I come in?
Well, you and I know there's one cause and one cause only for the spotted fever, ticks. She's been bitten by an infected tick, and recently. But as you say, the tick season has been over for several months now. Why don't you go over to the house?
Now, look, Jarvis, what makes you think I'm the one?
Well, you're supposed to be good at that sort of thing.
Okay. But don't expect any results. Spotted fever in the winter. This plane doesn't make sense, that's all. Now, give me that name and address. On my top coat, I tried to make sense of the puzzle. The address was that of Mr. Herman May, just around the corner from me. I recognized the name. That was a Willie May, a few years older than Jill and Sandy, who played with him sometimes. And speaking of Sandy and Jill, it was curious, I thought, that I hadn't seen anything of them this morning. Usually on Saturdays, they'd be clamoring at my door. Well, I needn't wonder any longer. I called, "Come in!" Like a streak, a yapping white dog ran between my legs, jumped up and down entreating, and then dashed around and around my laboratory, barking and sniffing in great excitement. Sandy and Jill followed the dog into the room more slowly, but obviously bursting with excitement.
Tiny, here, Tiny. Come back in this instant.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry, Dr. Tiff. I was carrying him and got away. Come here, Thomas.
A little ball of fur, silent now, came dancing into the laboratory from my adjoining bedroom. I blushed to admit that my bachelor housekeeping isn't all it should be. The dog proved that. For 2 days, I'd been looking for that particular sock the dog carried in his mouth. It must have been under the bed.
Put it down, sir. Put it down at once.
The dog dropped the sock and wagged his tail nearly off.
Honest, I'm awful sorry, Dr. Tim. He belongs to Willie May, and his mother's in the hospital.
You mean the dog, his mother?
Don't be ridiculous. I mean Willie's mother, and she has something awful. I forget what it's called.
It's called Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever, and it's caused by the bite of a tick. Despite its name, the disease is found in almost every state of the Union. Only funny thing is, there aren't supposed to be any ticks around during the cold season.
Good gosh. How did you find out? About Mrs. May, I mean.
Detectives know everything, Sandy.
Hey, how about I call him? Dr. Tenson called in on the case already. Well, you can't keep us out of it because Willie May asked us to take care of his dog for him while he's staying over at his aunt. Because Mr. May's working and can't get off and left the key with us so the doctor who's going to investigate can get in. And all the time it was you, Dr. Tim.
And what are we waiting for? Let's get going.
A few moments later, we unlocked the door to the May house and went in, silent and pondering. Our equipment consisted of flashlights for peering into dark corners in our search for the presence of another tick or two, which might have accounted for the illness of Mrs. May. Each of us had an envelope and a pair of tweezers, so as not to run the risk of crushing an infected tick and getting some of the deadly microbes upon ourselves. After a few joyful homecoming yelps, Tiny disappeared to some secret place of his own. We began the search in earnest. We divided the front room and the adjoining dining room into areas, calling across to each other as we searched for a chance tick that might be hiding.
Really, I don't think I've ever even seen a tick, Dr. Jim.
Well, you can't miss one if you find it. They're grayish-brown little bugs. Oh, less than half the size of your little fingernail, which makes them pretty hard to see when they're in their natural setting.
Yeah, I know. I found them in rotting logs in the woods. But why does the bite of a tick give you spotted fever?
The bite of most ticks won't, but there's one particular kind of tick. We doctors call it Dermacentorandrosoni, which can pass on the disease to human beings.
Gee, what a name.
But how do the ticks get the fever?
Well, they don't, Jill. They only carry the organism that causes it.
I wish you'd quit using those words. What the heck's an organism?
It's an agent which carries the disease, but it's so small that it can't be seen except through a microscope.
Yeah, but I still want to know.
Well, these ticks bite sheep or squirrels or prairie dogs or coyotes that have the disease, and then they bite people and pass it on to them. They're what we call carriers. They can pass spotted fever on, but don't have it themselves, you see?
Just like the mosquitoes that cause malaria.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like typhoid Mary. We learned about her in school. She gave hundreds of people typhoid after she recovered from it herself. Didn't even know she was carrying the disease around.
Hey, I found something.
Don't touch it. Let me see it.
Ah, I thought it was a tick. It's only an old piece of rubber band.
Well, kids, we've covered these two rooms thoroughly. We can give them a clean bill of health. Let's move on towards the back of the house. By the time we'd covered the downstairs thoroughly, Sandy and Jill had received an elementary course in Rocky Mountain spotted fever. They learned that it's mostly in April, May, and June the ticks are active. They were made to realize the necessity for protecting oneself with heavy boots, stockings, gloves, and tightly buttoned shirts before going into areas in the mountains which are known to be full of ticks. They learned that the only way to make sure even then is to have one's body thoroughly inspected each evening before going to bed. I explained how to remove all ticks gently from the skin. Remove them without crushing. They learned that the clothing must be inspected as well, and all danger of ticks hiding there eliminated. It was a good lesson, but we weren't any further along in our mystery. Just as we finished looking over the downstairs part of the house and the basement, the door opened, and Mr. May came in. We introduced ourselves and soon were deep in conference.
Well, yes, Doctor, if I have any old hunting clothes or a sheepskin jacket that I might have taken into tick country. I don't. I haven't been outside my car in the woods or the mountains for several years.
Well, what about the dog, perhaps? He had a...
Tiny? No. Tiny's never been on a trip during the year we've had him.
Tiny, hearing his name, came joyfully dashing in, bearing as a trophy exactly one half of what looked to be a bedroom slipper. Proudly, he laid it before Mr. May. We all quickly agreed that such a short-haired dog couldn't very well carry ticks without their being easily found. Besides, he'd had no chance to pick them up. There was nothing to do but continue our search. Slowly, we moved upstairs, Mr. May leading the way. Or rather, Tiny leading, with all of us following behind. It was in the closet of Mrs. May's room that our first break came in the case. Sandy gave a shout.
Look, a tick. Right here on Mrs. May's fur coat.
Quickly, we gathered around. I took the coat, laid it on the bed, and then one by one hauled the clothes out of the closet. By the time we were finished, the count was 5 ticks. Under my magnifying glass, all of them we easily identified as the carrier of Rocky Mountain spotted fever, the wood tick Dermacentorandrosoni, in the clothes closet of a house in town months after the tick season was over. Here was a mystery indeed. In fact, in the excitement of our discovery, I overlooked what turned out to be one of the most important clues in the whole case. Tiny, the dog, came bounding into the room with a small box in his mouth. He shook his head back and forth as if he were worrying a bone. Suddenly, the lid of the box flew off, and over the carpet flew out a mess of butterflies, the fruit of some collector's search of the previous summer.
Tiny, shame on you. Go away. Here, Dr. Jim, I'll pick them up.
And with a farewell to Mr. May and a promise to resume our detective work later, I took the kids out to eat. hour later, we sat over dessert in a downtown restaurant, with both kids feeding their week's allowance into a jukebox while we discussed the progress of the case.
Well, I've got a theory anyway. I think it was murder.
Oh, now, Bradley. No one's dead in the first place. Now, could it even be attempted murder? Not one person in a million would think of scattering wood chips around a room in the hope that the right victim would get spotted beaver.
Well, I don't know. Perhaps since he may have hated his wife.
Oh, that's complete murder, Darlene. 106 could have bitten him. Or young Willie. For me.
Hey, that reminds me. We looked all over that doggone house, but we didn't remember the secret room in the basement.
Secret room? What is this, a Middle Ages thriller?
Oh, it isn't really a secret room. It's really sardonic, Auditorium. Well, sort of where he keeps his collections, too. But how do you tell about it?
Sure, you go through kind of a winding passage, all painted black, so the light won't spoil the pictures Willie developed.
Oh, let me stop and think a moment. What sort of collection is an master Willie make?
Oh, butterflies and bugs and stuff.
Well, gee, I bet that's where Tony got that box of butterflies.
Now, hold on a second. You mean the dog can go in and out of that room as he pleases?
Sure he can.
Well, but you were asking him, what's the connection?
I'm not sure. But I think I know how Mrs. May got spotted fever. You kids hop in the car outside and I'll make 2 phone calls. And maybe I'll come up with the answer. And I did. The first call was to young Willie May at his aunt's house. I asked one question. Willie said, yes, he did collect a lot of miscellaneous insects the summer before. Some of them were ticks. The second call was to a specialist friend of mine who is an authority on the habits of insects. He assured me that certain insects, the wood tick among them, can live in hibernation for months and still have enough life to attach themselves to a human being and cause the disease. It was obvious that Willie's tick collection, scattered around the bedroom by the dog, just as he'd scattered the butterflies, was the solution to the mystery. And it turned out later it was. Sandy and Jill were full of questions, but only one or two were to the point.
Well, what about Mrs. May? Will she get well?
Well, she has an excellent chance, Jill. Spotted fever is often fatal, but one of the new wonder-working drugs is being used in a lot of cases these days. They're using it on her.
Gosh, isn't there some kind of stuff like vaccination for spotted fever?
There is, but there isn't much reason for anyone to have those inoculations unless he plans to go into places where ticks might reasonably be found. It's not a sure method of preventing spotted fever. Even if used, the injections must be taken 6 weeks before exposure. Being careful is the only answer.
Well, this was sure one case where a dog was the carrier of a disease. And yet he wasn't. Not in the usual way.
Yeah, the mystery of the dog that did.
I puzzled over that one and finally came to a compromise. It's the mystery of the dog that did and didn't. This is Dr. Tim, Detective, saying so long until next week at the same time, when Sandy, Jill, and I will bring you by transcription The Mystery of the Girl from Singapore.